morning, everyone. So before we start, I have to say Anne Gibson from Ireland, her mother passed away a few weeks ago, so please do pray for her family. So let me pray for them. Father, we pray for Anne and her family as they mourn for their loss. We pray that you comfort them, love them, and show them your mercy and grace. We pray that you save souls even in this sad time, that they might find hope and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's turn to the Bible. It's Zechariah chapter 8, the page number 837 in Church Red Bible. It's page 837. It's a bit long, but let me read from verse 1 to the end of chapter 8 of Zechariah, page number 837. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I'm zealous for Zion with great zeal, with great fervor. I'm zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of the truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the street of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The street of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its street. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of these people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes? Says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. In truth and righteousness, thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hand be strong, you who have been hearing in these days this word by the mouth of the prophet who spoke in the day the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord of hosts, that the temple might be built. For before these days there were no wages for men, nor any hire for beast. There was no peace from the enemy, for whoever went out or came in, for I set all men, everyone, against his neighbor. But now I will not treat the remnant of these people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give an increase, and the heavens shall give their due. I will cause the remnant of these people to possess all this. And it shall come to pass that just as you are cursed among the nation, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, let your hand be strong. For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent. So again, in these days, I'm determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. Give judgment in your gate for truth, in justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. And do not love a false oath. For all these are things that I hate, says the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of fifth, the fast of the seventh, the fast of the tenth, shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feast for the house of Judah. Therefore love truth and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, peoples shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities, The inhabitant of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, In those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. So it's full of hope, especially for the nation of Israel, because we simply believe he is God who keeps his covenant with everyone, especially with Jewish people. So to sum up what I said before, because it's a bit long time since I spoke on this Zechariah. The Zechariah means God remembers. So the name itself just reflects what he tried to say. So God remembers his promises, mercy, and grace upon us. So as I said before, it is also good news for us as God keeps his promise and remembers his mercy and grace upon his chosen people. We can also be sure that God will remember his promise with us through Jesus, the Messiah. And we also learn from chapter 2, verse 4 of Zechariah that when he wrote, he was quite a young man. So if you are young, please don't say that you are too young to do anything. God used everyone, whether you are elderly or young. I'm kind of middle. God even used the middle as people. I'm not sure whether I'm middle anymore. Anyway. And he began prophecy in 8th month of 2nd year of Darius. So it is month after Haggai chapter 2 verse 1 and month before Haggai chapter 2 verse 18, which means he's contemporary with Haggai. So Zechariah and Haggai, they aimed to encourage Jewish people to continue rebuilding the temple, which had been in suspense since the first year of Cyrus. So if we match up with secular history, it would be like BC 520, when it was 16 years after the decree of Cyrus. So they began to build the second temple, but they stopped. So God sent Zechariah and also Haggai to encourage them to continue. And as we saw on chapter 7, the chapter 7 forms one unit with chapter 8. Chapter 7 is in a way a bit bad news for Jewish people, but chapter 8 is good news for them. So it was 2 years after visions of chapter 1 to 6. So as you see, from chapter 1 to 6, given the vision, and after 2 years, God appeared to Zechariah again to give him another vision, which is fourth year of Darius, which says in chapter 7 in the beginning. So the situation was deputation came from Bethel to ask the priest and the prophet in Jerusalem. It's about the fasting, because when they are exiled in Babylon, they fast in memoration of the destruction of temple and Jerusalem. They fast four times in a year. And then situation became better when it was in fourth year of Darius. So remnant had returned. Decree of Darius removed all obstacles to rebuilding the temple. Living condition in Jerusalem began to improve, that they began to build up fine houses for themselves. So question was, in the light of these signs of apparent prosperity, should we continue with fast mourning the fall of Jerusalem and the temple? And negative answer belongs to chapter 7, but positive belongs to chapter 8. So chapter 8 says, if you just fast for the sake of your religious activities without heart, it simply doesn't work, and God is not pleased with your religious activities without your heart. So God demands the real sorrow for sin and heart desire to do his will. So we can learn even from this bad news. However, the positive part of the answer, which tells when and how the fast shall be turned into feast, follows in chapter 8, as our God is a covenant-keeping God. But interesting is, if you read chapter 8, this promise of God goes way far beyond present partial restoration. So this is famous picture in Bridge Lane, I think. Tony showed you many times, and I think it's a very good picture. So as you see, prophet here, and he saw the vision for the future, but there are two things we have to bear in mind when we interpret the prophecies of the Old Testament. The first one is, according to this prophet, whether it is first coming of Jesus or second coming, it is anyhow the future. So they sometimes write these two different events in one chapter or one book or even one verse. Because anyway, it is their future. So they seem to not differentiate too much between these two different events. So as you see from chapter 8, you can also see that there is near future prophet spoke about, but there is also far future he speaks about when he saw vision. And another thing we have to bear in mind that he's unlikely to see this valley of the church, the times of Gentiles, the Bible says. And the Bible also said it is seen as mystery of the church. So when they saw the vision, this prophet saw the vision, they don't seem to see clearly of this time of the Gentiles. But we know that at least it lasts 2,000 years, and God wanted to reach out to everyone through the covenant he made with Israel to bless all nations. So that's how we should be careful when we interpret the prophecies. So as you see from chapter 1, especially verse 3, it says, he will return to Jerusalem and dwell in the midst of his people. And he also says, Jerusalem to become the city of truth and the holy mountain. So we know, we are very sure that it hasn't happened yet. But when God spoke on the second temple, he also showed far future with this vision. So we'll see from verse 2 how it works out. So verse 2, it says, I'm jealous for Zion with great zeal and with great fervor. I'm jealous for her, the settler Lord of hosts. You can see from chapter 8, there are 11 times of repetition saying, thus says the Lord of hosts. It's like God wants to make sure that it's not others, it's him who speaks on this word, which gives us assurance that it is he who will fulfill this vision. So until the first 17 verses of chapter 8, it is this phrase repeated 11 times. But it says, his anger is stirred to the heat of fury against the nations, as he was but a little displeased and gave over his dearly beloved of his soul, which is Israel, for time into the hand of her enemies. But we all know from the history that the nations show them no mercy, rather help for the affliction. If you search out the history, especially of Jewish people, you can easily find nations are full of hatred and even persecution against Jewish people. And it says from verse 2 that God is angry with this nation because he is jealous for Zion. And verse 3, as I said just before, it is future event. So he says, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. This presence of God will dwell in Jerusalem again. We know that it hasn't happened. It disappeared. Even it hasn't come to the second temple according to rabbinic writings. So even though they built up this second temple according to command of the God, they didn't have this presence of God, which is Shekinah, the glory of God. But God promised here that he will return to Jerusalem. As I said before, it's not because Jewish people are superior or better than other people. God even said he chose Jewish people because they are small in number and weak, but wants to bless everyone through the covenant he made with Jewish people. And he doesn't forget this promise with his chosen people. So after reaching out to all nations, he will return to his own people to save them only by the name of Jesus. So if you turn to Zechariah chapter 1, verse 16, so he repeats his word. So chapter 1, verse 16, so it also says, therefore, thus says the Lord, I'm returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. And Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1, you don't need to turn, let me read. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways and we shall walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It hasn't happened, but Bible says it will happen in future. So God will dwell in the midst of Israel again, and it will be realized in the visible and manifest reign of Jesus in and from Mount Zion and in the midst of restored and converted Israel. And verse 4 and 5, it says that elderly people and children, they will stay in Jerusalem. And we had Chuck Cohen, I think it's 2 weeks ago, and he even said that it has been fulfilled in Jerusalem now. So he complained about the noise of children one day. And then he suddenly remembered this word, and he repented to God of his complaint. So there are elderly people and children coming together to Zion to dwell. So in a way, we are watching the process of this great fulfillment of the ancient prophecies now. And it'll be much better as time goes by. And verse 6 said, will it also be marvelous in my eyes? For with God, nothing will be impossible. It can be marvelous into our eyes, but it's not marvelous at all to God. But at the end of the day, he creates everything, and he will finish perfectly in his own time, or own time. So we can just commit everything to his hand and hope in our God of Israel. And even Luke chapter 1, verse 37, Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? This hard can be interpreted as wonderful. We sometimes express it's wonderful, beautiful, but according to God, it's according to his plan. And whether we are sinful or hate God or hate each other, God always does his will, and he will fulfill his will, whether we are good or bad. And verse 7, it says, he will gather people from the east and the west. The east represents rising sun, and the west represents setting sun, which means all part of the earth. And we can also see that this prophecy has been fulfilled. Even some people visit China because they find that there are some Jewish people like me. I'm not Jewish at all, but they're Oriental people, but they claim to be Jewish, and it's quite genuine. So they began to invite these Jewish people, even in China, to come back to their land. And Ethiopian, Soviet Union, yes, everywhere God called his people, and we can see the fulfillment of this prophecy. And if you turn to Isaiah chapter 43, it's not only east and west. We've got south and north. Isaiah 43, verse 5. So he says, fear not, for I am with you. I'll bring your descendant from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. So God called his people to his land as a fulfillment of his covenant with Jewish people, and we can see that it has been fulfilled even now as we are living. And verse 8 of Zechariah chapter 8, it says, I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. We can also see that it hasn't been fulfilled perfectly. As you see, though they have come to their own land, they don't accept Jesus as the Messiah, and they don't worship God of Israel yet. So in a way, it's in the process of fulfillment. But clearly in verse 8, it says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness. So in near future, that conversion of Israel, that heart of change, that restoration of truth and righteousness, as well as gathering his people to Israel, will happen. So how do you know? Simply because the word says so. I had a conference yesterday and Friday with Korean speakers in London. There are some more Koreans living in London, and some of them are Christians, and we host a conference called Israel Conference, and we invited two speakers to share with us. And one of them is Alex Jacob, who works for church's ministry among Jewish people, and he shared a bit of the ministry of CMJ. And he said, if it is right, I think they started 1809, so it's far more than 200 years old. I remember I attended their 200th anniversary, and it's amazing that they stick to this just one job for 200 years. But that's how you did. And that's how we are doing. And he said that when they started, there was nothing. There was no nation of Israel. There's no sign of conversion of Jewish people. But they stick with what Bible says. And they are hopeful, and they believe that God would fulfill his promise from his word. And we can see that God has done marvelous works, and we can also hope and pray that he will fulfill remaining promises he made through his word. So God will change their heart as well as gathering his people to Israel. So we know well of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, when it says, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write it on their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So Jewish people will return to God of Israel only by the name of Jesus to have this new heart and new mind through his law. If you go to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 20, is end of Zechariah. So it says, "In that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pot in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come in and take them and cook in them. In the day, there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." So as it says in verse 20, everything in Jerusalem, even in this bells of the horses, represent the holiness of God. You know, it hasn't happened. I think it's last week. I tried to watch Eurovision contest because I know it was held in Tel Aviv, but I couldn't continue because it is full of sinfulness. And we know what's going on in Israel, though they return to the land. But we also be hopeful because it says, in that day, in that time when God fulfilled his promise, everything is holy in Jerusalem, even this small thing like the bells of the horses. And that's what we pray for, and that's what we are hopeful. And verse 9, I think it's very interesting, and this is my title. So he showed this marvelous, in a way, quite hard to believe vision to Zechariah. And then he suddenly down to the earth when he said, "Let your hand be strong." I think it can also speak to us as we have hope in God and believe that God will fulfill every promise he made, especially with his nation. We have to do our own works. He says, "Let your hand be strong." We've got things to do, and it doesn't seem to be like wonderful or always good or always fulfilling. But as we seek for his kingdom, and as we hope for future, he is going to fulfill with, we also have to do our practical things every day. So he says, let your hands be strong, and also do the works I command you to do. You don't need to turn, but Haggai chapter 2, verse 4, it says, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and walk, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. And Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, it says, so the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the prophesying of the Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, and they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the command of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. So though we have hope in the future, and we know that God will fulfill his every promise in the future, we have to be strong and do our calling down to the earth. But it says in verse 10 and 11 and 12, when we seek for his kingdom, he will open the ways before us, bless us, and be fruitful in what we are doing. So verse 13, it says, do not fear, let your hand be strong. So I believe this is a message for us today. As we seek for his kingdom, we shouldn't be just sitting down doing nothing, but should be strong and do what we are called to do. So verse 14, it says, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers promised to wrath, said the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent. So again, in these days, I'm determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. So our God we are serving is covenant-keeping God, and his calling is irrevocable. We sometimes get punished as we punish our children to guide them, but it doesn't mean that he will abandon us. He always keep us and also fulfill his promise in Jesus. And verse 16, it says, these are things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor and give judgment in your gate for truth, justice, and peace. We sometimes forget this another side of fulfillment. God will restore his nation, gather his people, and show to the world that he is God of Israel. But as you see, there should be change of our heart in truth, justice, and peace. Unless you have this change of heart, you won't fit to this true kingdom of God. So God will do two sides of works for us. First thing is external. He will gather his people, bless them, and make them prosperous. But he will also change their heart, our heart, in truth, justice, and peace. Sometimes talk too much about love, 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 love. If you listen to music, they all want to speak about love. And if you just go out, people try to speak to you, you should love whatever religion you are or whoever you are. But as you see, as well as love, God also speaks on truth, justice, and peace. It's the other side of God's character, and we shouldn't undermine this, the other side. And verse 19, after he spoke on far future, he began to answer to the question regarding fast. And he said, this fast will be turned to feast of joy and gladness. I'm very grateful as I found God of Israel as only God in on the earth, and also believe that He created everything. He's good God for us. He can be bad, even though He's God. But He is good and merciful, and He promised that He will turn this fast to feast of joy and gladness. We got some brothers and sisters with Muslim background, and this is time of Ramadan, and we don't know much about this fasting, but it's quite serious among Muslims. And I have to say, it must be painful. I remember I tried to fast, I think it's 7 days, and I nearly get killed. I'm not sure whether I will do again. But anyway, but God says He will turn this fast to feast of joy and gladness. And that's the future He holds and prepares for us. And He even go further. It's quite, in a way, make us humble, as in verse 23 of chapter 8, it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" It's not because they are better than us, it's because God is God of Israel. And God chose them. God didn't choose Koreans. I'm sure he didn't choose Jewish people, Britain. But He chose Jewish people and decided to bless all nations through this covenant. So simply because God chose them, people begin to realize that we should find God and follow Jewish people and ask for help from them. And you can just say it is symbolic, but I do believe it will be fulfilled in the future. So our God is covenant-keeping God, and His calling is irrevocable. But as it says in the middle, we should do our own bit, and we should let our hand be strong until He sent His Jesus to come to the earth. Okay, so shall we pray? Father, we thank You for creating everything. We also thank You for Your mercy and grace upon sinful men like us. You sent Your only begotten Son, Jesus, to save us from our sinfulness. We therefore thankful for our salvation only through Jesus, the Messiah. We also want to share this Jewish Messiah with our neighbors as they seek for their own Messiah. But we know there's no Messiah except Jesus. We therefore pray that You help us be genuine, good witness to Your kingdom, that we might be able to reflect Your light upon other people. We thank You for our neighbors. We also thank You for Your zeal You have given us to reach out to our neighbors as time goes by. We believe that You will fulfill every promise according to Your word. We pray that You help us be faithful to what You call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.